Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
You are listening to Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. It's 1800 453 106. That's the number if you want to get in touch. Of course, we've been talking about the surprise announcement today from Leo Varadkar that he's stepping down as Taoiseach and the leader of Fine Gael. He spoke outside Leinster House in the past hour and said it's been the most fulfilling time of his life, but that he's resigning as the Fine Gael leader. He will remain on, though, as Taoiseach until a new party leader is elected. That'll happen after the Easter recess, because his successor has just 2 full months before the local and the European elections coming up in June. But he said his reasons today for stepping down were both political and personal, and that he doesn't have anything else lined up in the foreseeable future. We've had a lot of reaction here, though, to the announcement on the programme. Our own Barry White is still at Leinster House. Barry, what's the atmosphere like there now this lunchtime?
Yeah, look, the atmosphere is just of shock, Andrea. I just walked back from the courtyard and government buildings back to Leinster House, and I passed just a few opposition politicians on the way, and we stopped and just had a quick word, and everybody is just in shock. Nobody expected this. It's the timing of it that is the most shocking thing today. This has come as a political earthquake. Absolutely nobody expected this morning. I came in here just after 9 o'clock, and you're kind of expecting it to be almost a quiet day today. I know it's the first day back since the referendum and Leinster House for the politicians and journalists, but absolutely nobody expected this. I got a text around 10 o'clock saying there was going to be an announcement, and then I think there was a few other political journalists got similar text messages, and then everybody was just on the phones and trying to ring political advisors, trying to find out what was happening. All the advisors' phones were off. Then I went down into the canteen in here in Leinster House, and nobody knew what was going on, but then the rumours started to spread. I took a walk around to government buildings, and I seen, you know, there was a podium set up. It was going to be an announcement, like one of the addresses to the nation we've seen during COVID, and it was obvious that it was just going to be Leo Varadkar that was making this address. And then I suppose the rumours started to spread then that he was going to be making the shock announcement that he's resigning as Taoiseach and party leader of Fine Gael. But yeah, I think it's the timing of it, Andrea. I don't think anybody expected him to be stepping down today. I think some people would probably be of the opinion that maybe the writing was on the wall, and maybe he may have been expected to step down by some before the next general election. But, you know, that still could be months away. I don't think anybody expected Leo Varadkar to be stepping down before the local and European election.
Anybody we've had on the programme today, and even those in opposition benches, all too very, very surprised and taken aback by the timing of his announcement. I presume, though, Barry, there's probably some speculation and discussion and possible successor names, I'm sure, have been mentioned around there today too.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it could be. We're all guessing at this stage because it was such a shock announcement. Obviously, Simon Harris's name has been mentioned. Pascal Donoghue's name's been mentioned. I don't think it's clear at this stage if Pascal Donoghue wants to be the Taoiseach or the leader of Fine Gael. He said in the past it's a job he doesn't want. Heather Humphreys was one of the politicians who flanked Leo Varadkar. I think she could maybe be an outsider. Could she be the first female Taoiseach in this country? Fine Gael would then beat, you know, a lot of people are earmarking Mary Lou McDonald.
Lots of different names for sure. Well, Barry, I'm just going to cut across you. We've Fine Gael Senator Mary Siri Carney with us on the line today. Mary, your reaction to Leo's announcement?
Well, naturally, I'm very shocked. I mean, I have had an exceptionally good working relationship with him, and on a personal level, have also. So I'm shocked. I'm still reeling from it, to be honest. I mean, in my view, he had done an exceptional job as leader and as Taoiseach. You know, we've an economy in a strong place. We have full employment. We've been led through Brexit. You know, he was just the voice of stability during the pandemic, especially. And most of all, I'm very grateful that he had great faith in me. So I suppose we now then must look forward, and fortunately we're spoiled for choice in who would be the next leader. But yeah, still reeling from the news. Today's parliamentary party will be certainly interesting and different.
it would very much appear from everybody I've been talking to today that even those within Fine Gael only first heard of this when the Irish Independent pushed the notification, or the article went up on the website. I presume that's true then, Mary, when you heard about it.
Yes. Obviously, it went into various WhatsApp groups that I'm in, that our party is associated. And and everybody wondering, what is this? Was it going to be a very high profile resignation? Had, you know, had some of those at Cabinet landed big jobs elsewhere, or what was happening? That was really where it began.
I think a lot of people thought that, didn't they? Particularly when he just returned from Washington and from the St. Patrick's weekend. You know, the celebrations that, but he did announce in his speech he's nothing lined up.
Yes, he did, which would, but then I suppose when you have been in such a position, it is maybe good to take time to think on both a professional and personal level. You know, that he has the scope and the space to think. He will be Taoiseach for another number of weeks. Yes, he will still be a TD for his constituency, and we'll see that all through. We've no indication for whether he'll stand in the general election or not, but I'm assuming the indication at this moment is that he will. I think that our party has been in a very good place under his leadership, and he has made some very, very bold and brave decisions for on behalf of our party and on behalf of the country. I very much mourn his passing, but politics moves on, unfortunately.
Yeah, the timing of the decision, I think, is what's caught a lot of people today. And given how close the local and the European elections are and just around the corner, is that timing somewhat disruptive, Mary? For Fine Gael, I mean.
I think that, we only had 2 days of sitting. There's only 2 sitting days this week for the Oireachtas. That being today and tomorrow, and then we're in recess until after Easter. So I suppose from one perspective, tomorrow were the only days in which to make the announcement, and it would seem fit that it would happen, you know, in Cabinet first, and then come out and tell the people of the country. And so there's a certain amount where that gives us an opportunity as a party to consider what are the next steps, you know, who amongst the many
Who do you see in the many? Who do you think are the likely contenders, Mary?
Well, I think we've got all very strong people, both at Cabinet and as Ministers of State. There are people who have shown great leadership, great strength, who are very popular amongst the people. So we will see today who maybe are indicating as being contenders.
Who would you like to see?
I think there is an opportunity for us to see a woman as the leader of the party. There is an opportunity in that. That said, we have some really super men as well. I think it should be on merit and on capacity and capability as opposed to gender. But that said, we're very fortunate in that there are super women there at the moment.
Okay.
So any one of them would be great.
Labour TD Éadan O'Riordan is with us here on the line as well today, Mary. Were you as surprised as most, Éadan, by the announcement?
I was, but I don't think I'm shocked. I think anybody who's been observing Leo Varadkar for the last while would have said that there's a little bit of fatigue creeping into his performance. I've been observing Leo, I suppose, for 20 years. I remember 20 years ago, local election 2004, I was running myself, but I was bringing a bunch of kids off to play a match in his area. I saw his poster. I was interested in his name, which stood out as being a little bit different. And in that post-2002 era, where Fine Gael had a bit of a very difficult general election, he was one of that new generation of Fine Gael politicians. He got elected in 2007. But from the Labour Party perspective, we viewed him as somebody who was incredibly conservative, incredibly right-wing, and very self-assured. And only within a few years, he was almost the face of a leadership challenge against Enda Kenny at the time. Maybe he wasn't the instigator of it, but certainly he was to the forefront of it. And as Cabinet Minister, I would have served with him in the Department of Health for a brief period of time. He was still somebody that the Labour Party would have viewed as not an ally. With our mindset of what we were trying to achieve. But having said that, look, today politics is so easy to go for the criticism, but it's a day of, I think, of some hurt for Leo Varadkar. There was emotion in his voice.
He was very emotional, I thought. All right,
he was. There's another time to speak about the political ramifications for this. But he is somebody who's given 20 years of his life to politics. He is somebody who has made a difficult decision. I don't think the decision was entirely his own. But certainly, look, we can only wish him the best for the future. But at the same time...
In what way? Sorry, do you mean in the context of the referendum? Or it certainly doesn't seem to have been any heave anyway.
Well, the heaves happen in different forms. And I can only imagine, and this is all speculation, that maybe around the John Bruton funeral, people were beginning to chat. Certainly after referendums, that chat sort of intensified. He hasn't had a brilliant electoral record for Fine Gael. There's been quite a number of resignations from the party in terms of, like, you know, people, sorry, retirements, I should say, retirements as in not running again. He's the latest one. You can only wish him the best for the future. But I think from the Labour Party perspective, it's quite clear that this government is over and it has run out of steam. It's hard to live that life as a cabinet minister. I was a junior minister for 18 months and it was the most intense working environment I've ever had. And that was as a junior minister. Mm. If you're a cabinet minister for 13 years, it absolutely takes over your life. Every room you walk into, you're the most important person in that room. Every decision you make is very, very important. The responsibilities you have are huge. The media responsibilities are colossal. Every word you say is poured over. And if you're Taoiseach, well, that intensifies even tenfold. So it is inevitable that you will get a level of...
You're also a human being as well. And
you are a human being, yeah. And he's a relatively young man. He's still in his mid-40s.
Absolutely.
He has opportunities to achieve other things. But certainly from, you know, he's entitled to his successes. I mean, I would have said that as a minister, he didn't achieve much. As Taoiseach, though, he did outline a number of achievements from Brexit, which is not, that was a serious achievement. And it shouldn't be diminished. Certainly the pandemic is something that we would have backed him on. I thought he showed great leadership there. I think he showed he was at his best when the country needed some direction. And there was a sense of calm when he took to the podium during the pandemic that he had a direction and he knew what he wanted to do. But in terms of bringing people together or bringing the country together, I'm not sure if he achieved that much.
Okay.
But look, he's entitled to his day. He's entitled to his thoughts. Yeah. He's entitled to the compliments from his own party. But certainly, as we move on into tomorrow, our perspective would be that this government has come to an end.
So you wanted a general election?
I think the country needs one because we can't have a caretaker government for the next year. We need an administration. And as a public servant, I think Leo Varadkar will know that more than anybody else.
Just finally, Aidan, like Leo is one of, I suppose, quite a number of people who've announced that they're not going to, he's stepping back, obviously, as leader. Others have announced that they're not running in the next elections. Like, just when you look at it, and even through an opposition lens, is politics now, in 2024, is it an attractive career?
Well, I don't want to join the choruses of of people that sort of speak to how difficult it is because we want people to run. But it is harder to get people to run now than it was 20 years ago when I started. There are a number of people who are leaving in my age group, late 40s, early 50s, across all parties. Maybe because now you can have a number of different careers. But there is a coarseness that has creeped into it, which I think everybody needs to reflect upon. It is very different than it was. It is the best thing you'll ever do is running for election. But I think all of us have to reflect on how we interact with each other, how we criticise, how we give our opinions. Do we personalise it too much? Social media definitely has changed the dynamic there. And when people's families are brought into it, when there's protests outside people's houses, when there's verbal abuse on the streets, like politicians aren't the only people to get this. Guards get it. People, you know, working in security get it. Librarians get it. Teachers get it. So there's a lot of people across very different workplaces get it, who aren't paid as well as TDs are. So I wouldn't overemphasize it. But at the same time, okay, I think we have to have a reflection across media as well, I would say, about how we view political life, how we arrange our disagreements, and where is the border? Where is the boundary? The only people ever to come to my personal home and to invade that space were two journalists. So it's not just that that politicians need to change how they interact or protesters need to change how they interact. I think journalism has
has a bit of reflection to do
okay.
on that as well.
Okay. Listen, Éadan O'Riordan, Labour Party TD. Éadan, thank you for joining us here on Lunchtime Live today. Just to look, some of your own listener reaction to the news, the announcement by Leo Varadkar this afternoon. Texter says, simply has to be a general election. The country is completely disillusioned with politics and the people must decide its future now. Una has got in touch to say, I think it's a sad day to see Leo Varadkar resign. He did a lot of good, made mistakes like all humans do. It's perfect timing to go now. It's a decent decision instead of wasting people's time waiting until after the election and people putting their energy into him to then be let down after that election. It would be disappointing, but now we can accept his decision. Wish him well. He will be missed. Big shoes to fill, according to Una. Another texter, 087 1400 106. Leo ran Fine Gael and his government for a Dublin-centric voter base. Many outside the M50 will hope this is corrected by the new leader that's selected. Another texter again, time for a general election now. What else do we need to happen? They know their time is up. Stop kicking the can down the road. And Mike has got in touch to say, as an IT professional, I am aware of thousands and thousands of horrendous abusive messages and social media directed at Leo Varadkar. And nobody could survive that, according to Mike.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.